Carnival World, Chapter 61. Everyone had been too busy talking and drinking hot beverages. They had not seen the four Sino-Sheriffs come sprinting northeast, nor had they seen them operate a secret door at the base of the cliff and ride the elevator to the top of the ancient temple. As the elevator emerged from the floor of the temple, the four Sinosephs exited from within the small elevated chamber. There were four of them. Two had very short chocolate brown fur and looked like more human versions of the wolfmen. They also wore feathered caps similar but colored differently than the one worn by Orlando Bard. The Sino-Sheriff caps were like Bard's, but green, with one sky blue plume tucked under a black headband. Each Sinosephe was dressed in brown and green leather combat jerkins, very similar to those worn by Orlando Bard. However, each one had an emblem patch on their right shoulders with sky blue lightning and crossbow symbols. Bo had three black triangles above his patch. Rufus had one triangle. The other two Sinos had two black triangles above their patches. The number of triangles designated their ranks. Greetings, Bard, and a fine hello to the rest of you. Bo, the Sino-Sheriff, quickly surveyed the group at the temple, his Sherlock Holmes mind quickly cataloging a myriad of details. Bard threw off his blanket and struggled to its feet and held out his hand to welcome Sheriff Bo. His son Rufus barked excitedly, then exclaimed, "Great to see you, Orlando Bard!" Rangers Kai and Schmidt tried to rise after setting down their cups, but pled weakness and dizziness and stayed seated. Bo offered, "The smaller version of me is my son Rufus. The other two gents are my deputies. Bosk has the ebony hair. The other is Klotschke. We call him Klotsch. He is the brown and black mottled deputy." Neither barked, but both waved hands at the gathered group. Rufus barked again, then exclaimed, "We heard the noise from our village and came running to help. Sorry that we are late, Orlando." Bard waved his hand in a dismissive manner. "You heard the battle then. Thanks for coming early. You weren't scheduled to come until breakfast, but now that you are here, please join us. Some of us, as you see, are a little too worn for wear, even to stand. Why don't you have coffee or tea and join us? Big Jay here, leader of the Earth Camera crew, has been eager to meet you." Big Jay walked up and shook hands with the four Sino-Sheriffs. "Hola, amigos." As the four Sino-Sheriffs stepped out of the elevator, Mystica spilled hot chocolate on herself.
"I see two secret doors on either side of that elevator. One is small, but the other, basically is large."
Bo spun in place. "Amazing, little elf girl," he remarked in perfect high elf. "I can't believe I have missed that all these years. I should demote my triangle by one point." Mystica put her cup down and threw off her purple woolen blanket. She jumped up, almost fell, and yelped, "Why is the world spinning?" She faltered, but ran around the Sino-Sheriffs. They all watched eagerly as Mystica examined the little door. After a few finger rubs, pushes, and pokes, the little door opened with a click and swung outward. Seven little glowing fey-type creatures, gossamer wings flitting, flew out of the cubicle. "We are the good pucks of Chumberlee," she added. "I am Queen Millie Tilly." She curtsied to the group. "We serve Yesu. Thank you for freeing us from the suspended animation cube." The puck, wearing a wispy navy blue cloak, speckled with scattered white stars, flitted over to Mystica, not too far from her nose. "You, elf girl, did you free me?" she asked.
Basically, yes."
After a pause, she added, "My name is Mystica. Mystica
Norn. Queen Millie Tilly wrinkled her pointy nose before smiling. Royalty? How quaint. I am sorry, pretty little wedge chin. I have no trinket treasure reward for you. Please accept my free verse prophecy instead. In the depths of a dragon temple, many, many moons ahead in time, you shall be weighed and tested. Do not be afeared, Mystica of Q. The dragon mother you will quest serves the same master as this queen. After you pass the test, Mother Dragon will bequeath the singular one plus plural two, legendary sword parts together not, and the one and only ginger kitten, adorable tangerine tabby. Raleigh Furry Fingers is his true name, adopted daughter of Q. He purrs and meows in fluent kitty talk, but speaks English, dwarf, and quetzal. Small and wee, a teacup kitty he will always be, and a forever kitten riding free, always on your shoulder or on your knee. Raleigh Furry Fingers, forever young, you see. He may fade with a Cheshire Cat smile, but cannot cease to be. From time to time he sleeps seven winks in the beautiful land by Faerun's sea. Forever young until the ripe old age of 993. Queen Millie Tilly and her three sisters curtsied to Mystica once more and thanked her. Enjoy your gift, Mystica Norn, when it is time, added the queen. And when you return to your home, your green plush T-Rex will have the poem in its mouth. Then the four pucks and their miniature quetzals flew away in a burst of rainbow light. Hearing a crash to the west, the group turned, surprised. To their amazement, the sparkling fountain had crumbled into dust. Mystica's eyes flared wide, but then she rushed to the other door. She knocked four slight smudges, located in a circular span in the eight cardinal directions, and the large door opened. Inside were empty weapon racks and armor mannequins. There were also several chests. Eight chests made of blonde oak and decorated with puck and Quetzalcoatl carvings sat neatly along the edges of the walls of the room. The largest chest, located in the center of the secret room, was 3 feet wide, 4 feet long, and 5 feet high. Crafted from dense white metal, warm to the touch, and decorated with golden designs, the giant chest looked like a priceless storage locker, fit for a great king. Two colorful Quetzal birds sat atop the lid. One watched east, and the other looked west. Eight stylized, sunburst squares were equidistantly spaced upon the lid around the two rainbow birds. At each corner of the white and gold chest were four malleks carved from gold that leaned outward as if guarding the great chest. Each wielded a flaming trident whose red and yellow colors flickered, making the golden malleks appear to be alive and moving. The Maleks had ram's horns on their heads and horrific, scowling clown faces. Each dark, angelic statue that leaned out from the corners of the chest had scaled, muscular, humanoid bodies. On the long side of both the front and back was a mounted shield with a concave, carved, sneering face of Amaruka. When opened, the box was completely empty, except for a pinch of dust, a rainbow feather, and a sparkling pastel green seashell. The other, smaller chests were also unlocked. Each was filled with hundreds of colorful seashells and thousands of rainbow Quetzal feathers. However, when touched, most of the feathers and seashells burst into mounds of glittery dust. Kai, who had finally succeeded in rising from the temple floor, walked over on weak legs and peeked into the room. He asked, "What did you find in the larger secret chamber?" Mystica replied, one, basically, chests filled with colorful seashells and rainbow quetzal feathers. Ranger Kai laughed and was about to slap his knee, but stopped himself. He sighed, leaned against the elevator building, and said, like I said earlier, so much for treasure. Boxes of cowrie shells and tropical bird feathers. Padre had wandered past Kai. Curiously, fingering his red gold beard braid, he peered inside the treasure room.
Dicky Vins, creator, protect us!
Shouted Padre, the white dwarf cleric. He added,
mayhap not the treasure you expected, Earth Ranger Kai, in that extra-dimensional treasure chamber. But for all of that, valuable nonetheless. Those are finer chests than even we dwarves make. Aye, laddie, that large one is worth a king's ransom, me boy. But I wouldn't touch it meself, mind ye. Evil it is. He who shall not be spoken of, and Malik's with an eye. Nay, I don't ken this venture to be a total loss. Once the chests are sold.
Bard laughed, wampum and thunderbird plumes, fine folks, creator knows. But yes, Padre, some of the royalty on Carnival World might trade half their kingdom for that giant war chest, or some wealthy visitor from Earth may sell his entire bank or five-star hotel for the privilege of taking it back to Earth. He added, I need to whiz, since Jose is still cowering in the porta-potty. I am just going to take a leak off the cliff, but from the privacy of one of those broken-off temple columns. Anybody else need to find their own broken temple column and go talk to a man about a horse? Padre, Big J, and Gomez each found their own private broken temple column. Those who were afraid of heights, like Padre, did not step too close to the edge. Daphne wiped her tears and exclaimed, what about us girls? Maria laughed, then said, if I need to go, Daphne, blankety blank, I am just going to do the same thing the men are doing. Right out in front of the capital G God, all the blankety blank small g gods, and everybody else. I am not a blankety blank prim and proper kind of girl, Dr. Kendall. Too bad Gordo is in a blankety blank coma. He so enjoys my impromptu burlesque shows. Daphne scowled, but remained silent. Once the potty break was finished and the men came ambling back to the camp, the adventure team was greeted by the hiss of air and mechanical rumbles from the bright and empty cerulean skies.